Hey, Roros, do you ever call up Royally Obsessed on Alexa?
It's one of the easiest ways to listen to the pod. You can hear our latest episode every week there, thanks to Amazon Music, which has a full catalog of podcasts, including Royally Obsessed.
All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Royally Obsessed on Amazon Music. Oh no, mine is listening to me say that right at this moment.
A royal reminder, new episodes drop every Thursday. Tune in on Amazon Music. Now, on to the show.
Please rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Three cheers for His Majesty the King.
Welcome back to Royally Obsessed. I'm Roberta.
And I'm Rachel.
Before we get into the royal news of the week, first, follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast. Also, send us a note, info@gallerypodcast.com. We have a lovely listener email coming up. Rachel, it's a little bit sleepy with the royals, but I'm not saying the Q word. I'm not.
Right? No Q word. We will never say that here again. No one's allowed to say that in relation to the royal family.
My lips are zipped.
Yes. We are recapping Easter. How exciting to see everyone, not everyone, but a scaled back version, but seeing Charles out and about. We're also getting very excited for the premiere of Scoop this Friday, April 5th on Netflix. We have a Meghan Markle sighting to talk about, a fashion moment inspired by King Charles, and so much more. We are so happy you are joining us this week.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
But before we get into all of this wonderful news content, royal happenings, we are sipping a spring-inspired drink this week. I'm feeling... I don't know. I kind of laugh at myself during this time, but I just walk around with my phone out taking pictures because it is cherry blossom, magnolia season in Brooklyn right now. And just the little pops, even against the rain, it just, the joy it brings to my life is huge. And I know you have a lot in Philly, like beautiful runs, right?
We do have some really beautiful ones outside of our apartment, some trees. And so I've been taking so many pictures. I actually saw a woman taking pictures of the flower petals on the ground.
Oh, that's me. I'm that person.
People have reached peak cherry blossom season.
I'm so that person. I'm like, let's lie on the ground and like throw them in the air. I love it. But I'm burying the lead that we are bringing you this week a cherry blossom cocktail. It's kind of simple, but it's, you tell me, because you're the cocktail connoisseur, you're better at mixing these up. It's gin, cherry liqueur, lemon juice, soda water, and ice cubes. You can garnish with fresh cherries, a lemon twist. There's tons of recipes for this on the internet to get the exact measurements. I made one up last night and it is very refreshing. I think that it's really fun. And I also noted, if you don't have gin, you can swap it for tequila. And that's kind of like a cool springy margarita vibe. Not quite margarita season, but getting there.
I also like swapping fresh cherries for the pretty dark Luxardo cherries. Those are my favorite.
See, this is the expertise we need, Roberta. Bring it.
They use them in old fashioned sometimes, and I just love the look of those dark cherries. So, but fresh cherries are beautiful as well.
So make a cherry blossom cocktail and walk around looking at the cherry blossoms if they are in your neck of the woods.
You could even put a little cherry blossom flower right on top. Gorgeous.
Yes. But Roberta, did you have a nice Easter?
It was really nice. I spent so much time with family over the weekend. We had that Lambrusco brunch I think I told you about, and that was incredible.
Oh, yes. I was thinking about it.
I did not know that there were different types of Lambrusco. So it's not just the dark red. There's like rosé versions. There's white wine versions of Lambrusco. So it was really, really fun and informative. And the kids did an Easter hunt in the backyard, and it's just such a celebration. We talked about this this week. I forget how big Easter is. It's like the big spring holiday, and then it feels like the next biggest one is Christmas. Like it's on par with that. And so it was just really celebratory. How was yours?
I know. I felt like the royals. I was like, this is a big deal. And this, I think it's just this arrival of spring, that feeling that coincides with it. But ours was lovely too. We also had an egg hunt. I stuffed 130 eggs the night prior, but I honestly felt like that wasn't enough. There were only three kids, but it was like, I wanted it to last really a long time, but they just tear through it. So it was really fun.
I wanted to ask you, what are you watching on TV right now? I feel like this is like TV, peak TV watching
season. Oh, I
know.
I did want to share that I am newly addicted to Palm Royale. Are you watching that one?
Yes.
Yay! With Kristen Wiig.
With Kristen Wiig. And Ricky Martin.
And Ricky Martin.
And Laura Dern. I mean, there's so many people in it.
Allison Janney. It's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. I love the costumes. I'm so curious where it's going to go. And again, Apple TV bringing us Ted Lasso and now this.
Did you feel, though, like it didn't start out that strong? Like, I was like, first episode, I'm not sold. And now on the fourth episode, I'm like, I need to find out what happens.
Yes, it's really picking up. I was DMing with a writer at Town & Country who did a lot of pieces about with the cast. And she was the one, because I was like, I'm just starting it. And she said, just you wait. She was like, it just gets so good. I have a feeling she's seen a lot more of it, having done the interviews. But anyways, add it to your watch list, everyone.
My favorite part, I know, I feel like this is like SpawnCon somehow, but we are not paid by Apple TV at all. Like, we just both are loving the show.
We just love our TV recommendations.
My favorite part by far is the costumes. Like, the Lily Pulitzer, I used to work at a Lily store, so that's right up my alley. But also the, did you see the Havana episode?
No.
Oh, it's the dancers, the costumes. It's all just like so wonderful.
Yeah, it's like eye candy. It's just really fun to watch.
It's really fun. All right, moving on to our listener email from Stephanie in Florida. She writes, "Hi, Roros. I just finished listening to this week's episode and your talk with Elizabeth Holmes. I agree with Elizabeth's thoughts on Kensington Palace really fumbling their communication strategy on Kate's health. While Kate absolutely deserves privacy at this time to heal and process everything, KP only added fuel to the speculation fire by continuing to take wrong turns with their strategy. Because this situation played out so publicly, I've seen many people apologizing for speculating about Kate's absence. While having empathy towards Kate is so important, I feel that the apologies are unnecessary, and I wish that Kensington Palace would step up to admit their faults in this. While speculation and wild theories are bound to happen, the situation was out of control because of the continued failures by the palace. I hope Kate is able to heal and take the time she needs to get through this. Side note, thank you, ladies, for putting out new content for all of us each week. It's truly a bright spot in my week to listen to you two chat about the royals. You both are so lovely." Aww.
We need another Ro-Ro meetup soon. I've been feeling
that
void.
I always get people saying Philly Ro-Ro meetup in my DMs. So I really want
to
follow through on
that.
Right?
We could do New York City. I'm sure there's a ton, but I always feel like Toronto is a big one we get asked for. Right?
We should try to time it with one of their events. We'll brainstorm this later. I do agree with Stephanie, though. I have mixed feelings about the apologies, but it's true that a lot of the noise was just to fill the void that the palace created. But then on the other hand, it's like a lot of it was also just for clicks and engagement and views. And that just feels so icky and gross. Yeah. And like, where does that leave us in the next like couple decades?
I know. Scary. And I just feel like so reflective on our discomfort with silence, too. Like we're in such a unique time to be alive, I guess, because we can't just let it be.
So true.
And now, this week in royal history.
All right, this week in royal history, this is a little out of left field, but flashing back to April 4th, 2019, setting the scene, it was London's Natural History Museum. We were toasting with the 92-year-old David Attenborough to his 8-part Netflix series, Our Planet, and there was a big splashy premiere. The royals, Charles, William, and Harry all turned out in tuxes, looking so dapper. But I wanted to set the scene for the timeline when this event took place. It was 1 month before Archie's birth. Charles and Camilla were just back from a politically motivated trip to Cuba. And a couple of weeks prior, the royal households had just announced their split. 2 days before this premiere, Sussex Royal on Instagram launched. So this was a pretty like monumental moment to have Charles, William, and Harry gather, right?
I like that you're placing this in all the context. I love knowing like the rest of the story around the royals around this time, because I was thinking this was the time that Sussex Royal Instagram launched and it was shuttered just a year later.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to know the context, because even in the coverage of the Our Planet premiere, it's mainly about the wildlife and the climate and the tuxes. But it's like, obviously hindsight is easy, but just knowing what was like bubbling below the surface, and then you see this photo op happen with David Attenborough by their side too. It just seemed like it was, we need this. We need some togetherness. So they all look merry for Charles and his two boys. They were together. Charles made a speech where he noted how proud he was that William and Harry were picking up the cause and, quote, working to restore the balance of nature. Casual shout out to Charles here, because he gave his first speech about the environment and the importance of protecting it in 1968. Also, thinking of this moment in 2019, Earthshot was just a glimmer in William's eye, or was it really in the works ahead of the pandemic? They launched with David Attenborough, William and him, in October 2020. just, again, it's really like what was going on like in the context of royal history that makes this event so poignant.
I know. And all I think about from this moment is this, that striking portrait of the red carpet and them,
mm-hmm.
the two brothers, Charles, standing all together. There hasn't really been a photo like that in the last 5 years, which is really, really so crazy.
I know. And a lot of the coverage did talk about how unique it was for the three of them to attend an event together. And Camilla wasn't there. It really was about the boys, the men. Other attendees included David and Brooklyn Beckham, Ellie Goulding. I feel like those are, you know, royal mainstays, like, or mainstays on the royal stage with, amongst the key players. But yeah, I think my biggest reflection is just, was it a forced photo op at that point, given the split of the households? And did they need this message of togetherness? You know, it worked. The tuxes. We all like love a flashy night out, right?
Yeah, but I do think too about, you know, like you say, was it all kind of bubbling beneath the surface? We know how Meghan was struggling behind the scenes with her pregnancy, yes. and Archie, and having, you know, suicidal thoughts that she told Oprah about. So it's really kind of interesting to think about Harry going out for this event, but probably just grin and bear it until it's over, you know, and get back home to Meghan. I don't know.
I mean, it is so impressive how at ease they all look, knowing that there was a lot going on behind the scenes. But a fun royal history moment to look back on. And it kind of made me want to go back. And I know I watched parts of it at the time, but I really want to revisit that series from David Attenborough.
Yeah. Earth Month this month. It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's so
perfect timing. Yes.
All right. Moving on to the royals at Easter. I'm titling this "He Is Risen" because Charles is back. I don't know if that's inappropriate.
Episode title.
I'm sorry
set.
If it is. Yeah. But we did get to see Charles again, which was the headline-making moment of Easter. Also, Camilla by his side. There was Duchess Sophie, Edward, and their son James. There was Princess Anne and Timothy Lawrence, Fergie and Andrew. Ugh, a little bit of an eye roll there. But they were all out at St. George's Chapel for Easter services in the morning. The earlier reports that Charles would walk with everyone to the church were sidestepped in favor of being driven to the door in the Bentley. He greeted crowds before and after, although before it was just a few seconds. After, he stayed for quite a while. He talked to a lot of people, shook a lot of hands.
56, right?
That.
A lot of the headlines said he shook 56 hands, which makes
56
me laugh.
56 hands.
Who
the
is
exact
out there counting?
Count.
It's yeah. such journalistic efforts there.
I did love this part. This was the marriage advice that Charles gave out kind of inadvertently to someone who wished him well for his cancer treatment. It's a little hard to hear, but here's the clip.
Happy Easter. Going strong.
Happy
never give in.
Trying to obey my instructions. We will be Coventry.
Coventry.
I can't believe it.
Oh, oh. Happy Easter back. I will tell them.
I will.
Thank you.
It's
all yours. Well, it's very nice to see you. Strong. Lovely to see you.
I'm not to see you, Majesty.
Got a new camera.
Hello. Hello, Your Majesty.
The king sounds in good spirits. You can hear Camilla in the background as well. And if you didn't hear that, the royal admirer who wished him well said, "Happy Easter, Your Majesty. Never give in. Keep going strong." To which the king replied, as he looked at Camilla, "I just obey my instructions."
So good answer, Charles. I love
good
it.
Good answer.
It. Wait, can I interject with one thing that I read yes. in a Telegraph piece that someone shouted? Did you see this thing that as Charles was like wrapping up the handshakes, someone yelled, "Camilla is 17 now."
Oh my gosh. And it's about their dog.
It's about their dog. But the king yeah. was like so confused and baffled. And I just was like, I don't know, when I read it, I was like really trying to do math and understand. And then it goes on to describe it was in reference to a dog. But I was just laughing at how
their dog is named Camilla. And I guess King Charles said, "You'll need a new one soon." I was like, oh, that's really dark. What a dark reply to someone whose dog is 17.
Oh,
I feel like that was
gosh,
like,
yeah, that's really...
I kind of, looking at a lot of these clips from Easter, feel like, how do you, as Charles, continue, like, you run out of things to reply to people at some point.
I think that's what's hard, and, like, you're bouncing from one person to the next, and, like, that's what made me laugh about the, Camilla is 17 now, and I think we all go through this where we're just, like, we're in our own world and think that everyone's immediately on the same page, but it just, you know, you have to pivot so quickly, and credit to the royals for doing it so seamlessly, mostly.
So gracefully. I know. And I do think about when you said the 56 hands that he shook, like, is there someone with hand sanitizer
yes!
right behind him?
Or in the car, like dousing him and like hot water, yeah. like a whole process and protocol.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get into the Charles Health headlines, I do want to just touch on the outfits.
Yes.
Which I feel like we need to shout out that Anne, Fergie, and Camilla were all in shades of green, looked lovely. And Sophie in that rich purple color. Oh my gosh. It was a Prada jacket, a repeat. And I just can't get enough of it.
The jewel tones of it. Like, I just love that. It really, you see how much it works for the cameras.
The accessories, though. Camilla's Chanel top handle bag. I mean, chef's kiss there.
Yes.
Princess Anne's fringe boots. Fergie had that gorgeous velvet black headband with pearl flowers. This is by Rosings London, who specializes in headbands. This is a new brand we need to keep on our radar, Rachel.
Okay.
Also, Sophie's white sculptural beret, which was a borrow from her daughter, Lady Louise. I love that they're sharing wardrobes. I often wear, when I'm home in Florida, my mom's clothes.
Yeah.
So I feel that. I did want to discuss with you Charles's health, though. How did he look to you? What did you think?
So my immediate reaction was that he looked really, really good. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I think I've just felt in the televised addresses that we've seen, pre-recorded messages, which obviously is not natural light. He's indoors and there's cameras and it's a little yellowy. I thought he looked really good here. It gave me a lot of confidence that he had the strength to do that, to go and mingle for as long as he did, which I think it was a matter of minutes. I know we say 56 handshakes, which is now becoming a theme of this episode inadvertently.
It sounds like a Beyonce album song title, like 16 carriages, 56 handshakes.
Yeah, I think what resonated the most to me and what I took away is just, you think about all that he's going through right now with his health, but then how reinvigorating it must feel to be able to be out with the public and have that kind of reception and encouragement. And I do feel like when you're going through a lot with your health or anything personally, I do think it's the people. And sometimes, we say like physical touch, just it does help you go on. And so I don't know. I felt good. I thought this was a huge success for the Royals in terms of an event.
Yeah, I found it so kind of paradoxical or like ironic that he would shake so many hands when it was said that in the church he actually sat away from everyone and on his own. It does kind of harken back to COVID times for me, where we're like wearing a mask inside but then also like within 6 feet, and it doesn't, like, we just like have these things in our mind that we think are right, but then also it all goes out the window when he's shaking everyone's hand.
Yeah.
Like, why would he sit apart? But then, and also that he skipped Easter lunch with everyone after.
And again, I bet it's the indoor setting.
Yeah, and that must be it. There's just a very fine line with those things, and the doctors must be giving him guidance. But I did think that he didn't look super well in the recorded Maundy Thursday video address, like that still that they sent out. He just, for some reason, like his eyes appeared really red or something that kind of threw me through a loop. But I wanted to send you, I did a side-by-side of a picture of him from 2023 Easter and a picture of him from this year, just so we can have the comparison right at our fingertips. So I'm sending you that.
I mean, he looks
pretty much the
pretty
same.
Much
like,
the
he looks
same.
Pretty much the same.
He really does. You found the exact same hand wave, the exact same angle.
I actually think his fingers look better.
Yeah.
They don't look as swollen.
Yeah, his hair looks good. He looks, I think this is the fullness of the face was what I noticed in this walkabout on Easter. And it's where I felt he looked more gaunt in those video messages. But again, it's just lighting maybe matters. I don't know. But I just was happy to see him. And I noted even the fact that, you know, people on the ground said the family moved on. And when he left, Andrew didn't talk to cameras. Like, it feels like there are learnings happening. Like, Andrew was there, but he didn't stop and chat. And I think that it meant that this kind of went off without a hitch, this whole appearance, this whole occasion for the Royals. And I'm glad for them.
I do feel like to bookend this with like the Easter theme and kind of just like, it does feel like, you know, he's back. He's in front of St. George's Chapel. He's in Windsor shaking hands. Like, it is all the things that we feel so comfortable as royal watchers seeing. And I think that they really pulled off this moment of like royal tradition that we're so used to in a comforting way.
And what we miss, right? It's that stability that feels good.
Yes.
And even though it's an incredibly bumpy time, I think that that was the underlying takeaway for me.
It's that semblance of normalcy that we really looked for during the pandemic as well, that I just felt comforted to see the same image over and over that we're so used to seeing. So anyway, moving on.
All right, moving on. We do want to touch briefly on this Meghan Markle appearance that was totally delightful. For clarity, it did happen on March 21st, but she stepped out at the Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. She joined their Literally Healing program, which gifts families at the hospital 65,000 books annually, which is so impressive. And her appearance was part of their Make March Matter campaign, which is an annual fundraiser. She stopped by, she read Rosie Revere Engineer, Pete the Cat and His Four Groovy Buttons, and more. I want to play a clip of her animatedly reading to the kids.
Great ones here.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorites. Her great-great Aunt Rose was a true dynamo who'd worked building airplanes a long time ago. That night, as Rosie lay wide-eyed in bed, a daring idea crept into her head. Did you know that cheddar cheese spray keeps the snakes away?
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I was just going to say that anytime I hear Meghan read, I have flashbacks to 2020 and the Duck Rabbit birthday video for Archie, which I think she did for Save the Children. And I know Meghan gets criticism for these actory performances while reading, but I think that she does it just eloquently to perfection. I feel like I want someone that reads to kids to be just as animated as possible. I'm thinking of this Abbott Elementary episode from last week that was library themed and how the kids just respond to it so well. So I loved seeing this video from behind the scenes of her doing this.
She gives me Jennifer Garner vibes.
Yes.
For some reason. I get a lot of that from her. And I also think someone recently said to me, like, they were around me while I was talking to my niece and nephew, and the way we talk to kids is so different from our normal voice. But isn't that what we're supposed to do?
Yes.
Like Miss Rachel, that's why it's so earwormy, is because they just gravitate toward that so much.
Yeah, and she just looked so in her element. And I feel like, again, this is just a delightful moment to see. And what the royals, I know she's like not officially a senior royal anymore, but in their element doing this kind of stuff. I did want to note it's very common for celebs to appear at the hospital. Demi Lovato was there a couple weeks ago, Kaya Gerber. So I think this was a fun occasion. Also, the dress. How excited were you about that?
To see it in color? Because I feel like
yes.
All the footage or pictures of it from the docuseries was all in black and white. So I was thrilled.
Yes.
This dress is gorgeous. And we always love when they do a repeat. That's very royal of her.
I know. For background, this was the Oscar de la Renta landscape shirt dress that she wore in the docuseries. And a couple of photos of her with the kids at Frogmore. Just absolutely love it. I just wanted to also shout out that Meghan and Harry hosted an event for the Kinsey African American Art and History Collection. This also happened on March 21st. So I feel like March 21st was like a jam-packed day for Harry and Meghan, mostly Meghan, who had two events.
I do want to add, Ray, because it's weird that it's the day before Kate's cancer video announcement. I just thought that was so strange the way that all lined up. But I feel like they do sometimes stack events like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and that we're hearing about it. Like now, I think that people are very clear on the date that this happened. But they moderated a conversation on this at this event about the significance of Black art and how efforts can be made to preserve it. Dory was there, and so was Beyonce's mom, Tina. And I just love this synergy happening. So
somebody commented, I saw online, it was like, mothers are mothering. Just love that so much because that is the BFF friendship I need.
Yes.
Doria and Tina Knowles.
Yes. We need just like, I don't know, a docuseries on that or like a reality show. That just seems so fun to me.
I just want a Doria Instagram that I can follow and like comment
yes.
on everything.
Okay, final Meghan update. I thought this was just great because we're waiting with bated breath for American Riviera Orchard to give us the content. Like, check in our inbox. We're all on the email wait list, I would presume. But the trademark has been updated on March 9th to add beauty products, home decor, stationery, linen, small kitchen appliances, condiments, yoga equipment, gardening gear, pet accessories, jewelry, wallpaper, wine carrying cases. Holy Hannah. There's no limits. This must be how it goes.
I'm sticking to my original theory of April 7th because of the TIG shuttering that day.
That is a mere 4 days away, my friend. That's exciting.
Is that Sunday? Yeah, that's Sunday. So we'll see.
It's time for the Royal Highs and Lows.
Before we adjourn the royal pod, our highs and lows. My low is not a lot of cousins at Easter. Of course, we had Sophie and Edward's son, James. But after Cheltenham, I thought that we would see Zara, Beatrice, Eugenie. No, we didn't. They were, you know, had a low-key Easter with their families, which I support. But there were these reports that Beatrice and Eugenie are frustrated, but not surprised that they're not being asked to step up as senior working royals because of how slim the monarchy is looking in the midst of these two health crises. I'm not sure if I believe that they're frustrated only because their private lives come with so many added benefits. Yeah. You know, the chance to for Eugenie to live in Portugal, for instance, that's just one reason. So I would love to see them more, but I also respect that they are living their own private lives off the working royal grid.
Missed opportunity, I think. They need to bring them in.
I know. Those cousin pictures are just so fun when they're together.
They really are. Milo is just this reporting on the Invictus Games bidding for 2027, and it's down to the UK and Washington, D.C. facing off to get the games. I just think it's fascinating that all the press is about if the royals would turn out, should the UK host. But in 2027, which is just so far away. And I guess just overall, it feels a bit like a headline grab in a sparse royal news time. I also kind of am rooting for DC. Is that wrong to say? Because then we could probably easily take a train. It would be what, like an hour for you?
Oh, we definitely, definitely need to do DC. I hope that they win. This feels like the Revolutionary War. No, just kidding.
Oh my God. So funny.
That's such a stupid joke.
That was a good joke.
All right. My high this week is I am excited because I have weekend watch plans to watch Scoop on Netflix. The Scoop movie premieres on Friday, April 5th. So the day after this episode comes out, we will talk about it all next week. But it's going to be good. And also, there's going to be an Amazon Prime version with Emily Matlas's version of events that happened around this Prince Andrew Newsnight interview. So we'll have definitely more content around this coming soon.
Yeah, I can't wait. Finally, my high is just this collab, third year in a row, apparently, between Charles, I'm calling it Charles, but it's really Highgrove Gardens, with Burberry. The scarves, Roberta, if you want to click the purple link that I have in there, I am just obsessed with them. They're gorgeous. And they are designs that are dreamed up by Holly Mills. She's a graduate of Royal Drawing School, but the inspiration is all from Highgrove. And you can also see them lining Burberry trench coats if you have a cool $3,000 or $4,000 to shell out to buy one from the collection. It just made me think of, remember when we were at the coronation and your hunt for a coronation scarf? And you never found one, right? They sold out like hotcakes. They were gone.
At Liberty of London. Yes. Yeah, they kind of like laughed at me when I asked because they were like, those have been gone for weeks.
I bet this happens with this type of collection too. But I am, that purple scarf is just so stunning. Check it out, everyone.
I like the pictures of Highgrove too. The watercolors, those are just really, really pretty. Well, now I know what to get you for your birthday.
a $4,000 Burberry trench or just the scarf?
I'll start saving now.
Probably thousands. So funny.
All right. Just a reminder before we close, please leave us a royal rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. This review is a little bit long, but we love, love, love a long review with 5 stars. So this person wrote, longtime listener and royal fan, first time reviewer here. I just wanted to say how much I respect these hosts and the way they present royal news. The through line that I've always noticed in their podcast is that they speak to the dignity and respect that the royals deserve, not because they're royal, but because they're complex humans with flaws like the rest of us. I appreciate that. They take a moment to pause, take a breath, step back, and reflect, and even offer some grace toward a new situation before they prepare their remarks and their reactions for us. In a world that pressures for everybody's instant and dramatic reactions to everything scandalous, it is so refreshing. I have so much respect for you ladies, and your episodes are always a bright spot in my week. Cheers, Chelsea from South Dakota. Wow, I feel like I don't often fulfill this person's description.
This is a frame-worthy review. That is so kind. And I do feel like we are so lucky. We think about this often, that we do have this concrete space to, you know, we can wait and react every Thursday with you all. So I think it is really special for us too.
I'm going to work more toward Chelsea's version of ourselves and hopefully fulfill this
beautiful portrait that she's painted
of us. No, it's so, so kind. Thank you so much. Reminder to subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast. Send us an email at info@gallerypodcasts.com. Until next week, God save the pod.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.